This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
We're so multiverse of madness. Excited to have you, legend of the queer community, Channing Nicholas.
Thank legend you of all on. Communities. Yeah.
Legend of all communities.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know if you like remember, but we first talked
scary.
On the phone.
Yeah.
Is it?
No. Go ahead.
I'll tell you the last time that happened to me. But go.
Okay. What year was that?
2014? We lived in New York that summer.
2014 or 2013. Interning for, like, we had a mutual friend.
Oh.
And
I
had nothing
to... We knew a mutual person.
Yeah. And yeah. I was doing, like, basically a fake internship.
Yes.
Like, there was nothing really for me to
God,
do.
Oh, my God, that's you.
Yeah. But they were like, oh,
wait,
like,
but we met again then, after that.
Well, what are you talking about? At Gorgeous Gorgeous?
Is that where?
We met, because you're friends with Fran Tirado.
Yeah.
Whoa.
And so
Fran is the dot that connects... The
web.
Gay world.
Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely.
God bless her.
Yeah,
but yeah, we did meet in person that one time. But
yeah.
it
That's
feels
so
like,
funny.
Yeah, I think it made like
what
your,
did I tell you?
You were trying it was oh it's so cute to think about. You were interested in like starting a podcast at the time.
I was?
Yeah.
Oh, because I didn't give you a reading.
No.
You were like helping me.
You had told me this is why I feel so dumb. Like we were talking about, you were like, I think I want to start this podcast and like just make this more accessible to people.
Right.
And then I didn't really help you. I was so depressed that summer, but it's okay.
You were like 20.
Yeah.
She was being 21.
And we were working on the first songs like that Muna would put out.
Yeah. Yes. Right.
And you were like, I'll give you a reading like you and your partner.
Yeah.
Like whenever.
Did I ever?
Well, I never took you up on
Why?
It.
Well, now here we are.
I don't know,
oh
just
God.
Being a goofball. And then now, and then, Aww. Yeah. And then you got pretty busy.
I got busy.
Yeah.
We all got busy.
Yeah.
You guys are pretty busy too.
Yeah. I know.
Thank
yeah. So 10 years later.
Wow.
Here we are.
That's wild.
Paths crossed yet again.
That was when I first met my wife.
Really?
Whoa. Yeah.
How did y'all meet?
We met on the job, so to speak.
Cool.
Yeah.
Like you gave a reading?
Or similar
fields? I didn't give a reading. I was actually teaching yoga at the time.
Cool.
Oh. Sexy.
Yeah.
Not really. It gave me a heart attack. I was like, I've never dated a student before. She wasn't really a student. I taught her a couple of privates. And
yeah. Okay.
She was living in New York
Absolutely
and I was living
private.
In LA.
Okay,
yes.
Cool.
Yeah. It's
and
hot.
I like
nothing you can do about it.
I like told off some man that was walking into the place where I was teaching her in the hotel and that was it.
She loved it.
I basically kicked him out of the room that we were in. She was like, "What?"
Yeah,
yeah, cool, hell yeah.
She's like, "Who actually are you?"
Exactly.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
and then y'all have been together for.
Yeah, I mean we've been married for 9 years.
Cool.
Oh my,
is that true? We got married in 2015. We met in 2014.
Okay,
so this is our 10-year meeting anniversary in May.
I'm like, was that the year that it became legal to get
2015?
Married?
It was the year before, I think. Was it 2014?
I think it was 20. When we graduated was when it was, or 20, either, I think 2015. Because it was like, wow, everything's changing.
I think 2014 because it was the school year.
When it passed,
you know, because
I was in San Francisco. I was on. I was in the Castro.
Oh, that's so cool.
Wouldn't it be 14? Like, this sounds.
I'm open to being very.
I think, and then we graduated that like spring. You know. Why is school like that? You know what I mean? Like, why is school...
Obergefell versus Hodges, 2015. Mm. Landmark decision of the Supreme Court of the United States, which ruled that fundamental right to marry is guaranteed to same-sex couples by both due process clause. See, this is a learning podcast.
Oh, that's right. It was 2015 because of the... I'm remembering the astrology of it now.
Decided June. It was decided in Pride. Yeah. June 26th.
Yeah. The astrology of it was that Jupiter and Venus were coming together... I think, and it was this beautiful conjunction that you could see at night. And Venus is the planet of marriage and love and affection and sweetness and all of that. And Jupiter is the planet of like luck and abundance. And the fact that it, and also Venus is symbolizes women and LGBTQ folks. And so it was such like a lucky combination. And the fact that it was about marriage equality, and both of the planets are also very much about justice and like law and morality. Mm. And so the fact that they came together at that time was really astrologically, you know, like spectacular.
Is that how you, when you think about things in your life, that's how you,
that's
like unbelievable. Yeah. I mean, that's unbelievable.
Not really. It's kind of, it's just like, you know, do you think in music sometimes?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think in meals that we've eaten.
Meals.
Yeah, that's how we, I mean, kind of, how do you remember a date on tour?
Yeah, gorgeous meals.
A meal.
Really?
Well, yeah, it's because the show becomes kind of the same, you know?
It's like anything, you can, I'm sure it's the same. Any creative pursuit can kind of like fade.
Yeah.
Into
yeah.
the background of your life when it, as it becomes more like normalized and professionalized.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I think there's definitely, I will say we do mark time by like, we were on tour, what show were we playing? Like
it's both.
We do mark time that way.
But I'm always trying to clock what's happening in the sky. How is it showing up for us collectively, personally, so that I can learn the next time it happens what I could be like scoping out.
You
know?
Totally.
Like what could I expect, or what kind of vibe is it?
Yeah.
When did you first start like connecting the dots, so to speak? Like, was this something that played a big role in your childhood?
Yeah, I was introduced to it when I was like 12.
Cool.
When I got my first reading.
By who?
So my dad was on his third wife, family iteration, and his new mother-in-law was a Reiki master.
Whoa.
And all of her friends were like psychics and astrologers. And so she sent us all to get a family astrology reading.
Whoa.
And I was just like stunned by how resonant the thing was that this person was doing.
Yeah.
But I'd never encountered it before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So she had written a book and my dad got me that book and it was my beginning.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah. It's really cool.
Yeah.
And like, do you remember when you first started learning astrology, if it was always like, when I hear you talk about it, it is very much this like visualization of like we are beings on a certain planet that's like in a constellation of other planets. Like, was that always kind of how you thought about it? Like the relationships between these energies that are moving?
I think of astrology as a mirror.
Mm. Okay.
Right. So I think it gives us a reflection. What astrology is, it is an evaluation of the quality of a certain moment in time.
Whoa. Okay.
So our meeting here, this podcast has its own chart. Right?
Yeah.
Like there's a quality of time that is occurring right now. Huh. And so we're living that out. So the quality of time that was present in the exact time and location when you were born is you.
Yeah.
You are one manifestation of that quality of time. Now, if somebody was born in the same location at the same time as you, then they will have the same chart as you. And they will also be an amulet of that time, but they'll express it slightly differently, right?
Yeah.
You're different people.
Yeah.
But you're still the same qualities of time captured in two different ways.
Yeah, totally.
And so everything, we're all this like little concentration of that moment of time.
Yeah.
And so we get to, I think we get Joe's free will within that context, but we have a set of conditions we're born with if you look at your life through an astrological context or any moment through an astrological context.
When you met your partner, were you, did you do their chart like after?
No, I didn't. I refused them.
Whoa. That's probably good. Yeah, I would imagine.
I glanced at it and I was like, oh, you're just like this with everybody. Like she has such a charming chart that I was like, oh, okay. But I was, I sent her to my teacher.
Well, cool.
I don't want to do this.
Yeah, how did you find your teacher? Like,
My teacher's Demetra George. She no longer allows me to study with her one to one, but I still read her books and take her courses. But she is just like an omnipresent, you know, like master of the tradition. So any astrologer should know her name.
Okay. Yeah.
If they don't yet, they immediately go and research her. She is an encyclopedic, like, powerhouse. Like, you could ask, because you, in order to really be an astrologer, you have to be a historian and a mythologist.
Yeah.
And sometimes a mathematician.
Yeah.
I'm not, absolutely not one. But she, you can ask her about any, like, area of history in the, like, ancient world where we think of, like, my Western astrology coming from. And she can tell you, she'll just, like, open up a file in her mind.
Right.
And, like an accordion, and then just, like, open it up and be like, well, and just go through, like, the religious, the political, the, like, the conditions, the timing, the ways in which people were thinking and working and, like, living, and explain, like, one aspect of a question that you asked.
Holy shit.
So she's just, like, she's a phenomenal resource and a profoundly incredible teacher.
Yeah.
Like, she just knows how to teach.
Yeah.
So I was lucky enough to study with her privately for a while. But yeah, I don't know. I can't even remember when I encountered her work. She's just always been there.
Yeah.
You know.
And when you were studying with her, like, have you always...
I was studying with her when you and I first met, that first phone call 10 years ago.
That's cool.
Like, that's when I was doing my one-on-ones with her.
Wow. And so at that time, I think you already had, like, aspirations of, like, I'm going to do this full-time.
Yeah, I mean, at that time, I was writing horoscopes all the time and writing essays, and all of that was starting to gain a lot of traction, I think, at that moment.
Yeah.
The gaze had picked me up.
And because you also very much are a writer. It's like in the same way that some people, I just feel like you have a gift for like the translation of this for.
I like a young kind of mindset about things. It seems like very connected to like this larger historical tradition involving like symbolism and ritual and like the ways in which archetypes play out in our lives. Like,
I mean, like, Jung was is a particular character in the story of astrology because we actually lost our astrological knowledge to a huge extent.
Yeah.
So astrology was around, has been around for thousands of years. And in the West, what happened is a little thing called Christianity.
Right.
Yep. And so it had to like go underground and we literally lost the physical text, or they were buried inside of basements and kept and not really able to be out in daylight. And so around the like beginning of the 1900s, people like Alan Leo kind of created a new astrology.
Mm.
And Jung ended up becoming a central part of that, what we call modern astrology. Yeah. And that's incredibly different than traditional astrology.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
And so it's like, it's like astrology is like this thing, this energy that refuses to fully go away.
Yeah.
But it will be suppressed in certain places for long periods of time, but it will keep springing up.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of like does whatever it needs to do to survive, think. And so one of the iterations of it was, I think, Jung's like take on things, because Jung didn't believe in astrology. And someone was like, well, why don't you? Maybe it was himself.
Mm.
I think he was like, well, maybe I should learn it.
Study it, yeah.
And then he was like, oh, this has something. And so then he put his take on it.
Yeah.
Which is the chart, the whole chart is you.
Yeah.
Kind of like the whole dream is you.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, totally.
That's very different than traditional astrology. Mm-hmm. That's a huge departure from what had been practiced for thousands of years. And so then modern astrologers, because they didn't have access also to the old way of doing it, we're like, great. And they created this new, beautiful, really profound system. I don't work necessarily like mm-hmm. that. I used to, because that's how we all, if you're like my age, that's how you learned, because we didn't have access to the old stuff.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
But for the past like 20 years, people like Demetra George, and they go back and they still are in the process of translating these old texts. Anyways, they put together this archive of old, and they revived the old tradition.
Wow.
And so now we've got all of this astrology.
Yeah.
We
yeah.
have the modern, we have the what we call traditional astrology.
What is, can you give me like a distilled, like really dumbed down, like what is traditional astrology?
Yeah, traditional astrology is focusing on the seven visible planets because that's what we knew forever until very recently.
Okay.
And so there's this very elegant system that you can, it's kind of like this kaleidoscope, like you can take it this way and be like, oh, this explains the signs. And you can take it this way and you're like, oh, that explains the houses. And then this way, and that explains the aspects. And it's this beautiful, holistic way of seeing the universe. And if you think of a lot of ways in which we function, like you'll see seven in a lot of different religious texts on the seventh day, blah, blah, blah. Like so we have 7 days in a week, like they all connect to one of those seven planets. And so modern astrology adds the three modern planets and Chiron and blah, 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 and assigns them different things. And so traditional astrology stays within those seven, although we work with the other new points and add them on, but we stay with the structure of these seven and work within this kind of formula of understanding qualities and potentials of each planet, because in this system, they do well in some signs and not well in other signs for specific reasons because of the kind of way in which the whole thing is constructed.
Right.
So modern astrology takes all the 10 planets now and then lays them out over the signs in a different way. And so it's just a different way of looking at things.
Interesting.
Does that make
sense? So would you have a different sign? Like would your chart
No.
Yeah, that was my question.
Or it's more the interpretation of
So there's something called sidereal astrology and tropical astrology. So Western astrology is
We're learning
tropical.
A lot. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. It's good.
Sidereal is what Indian astrology uses.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
They go by the constellations.
Okay.
And we go by the seasons.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
So every year a silly article will come out. This year NPR put out some
like your
video.
Sign is wrong.
Yeah, your sign's wrong. That's what I don't know anything they're talking about.
That is like one of the number
I've heard
that the haters say.
Yeah. We wrote a couple articles about it. So if you want to search chani.com for the
we'll put a link.
Yeah, put a link. Wait. We'll have them do that for sure.
So
I've always wanted to do that.
In Indian astrology and in Vedic astrology, they stayed with the constellations.
Okay.
And in Western astrology, we stayed with the equinoxes and the solstices. So those points of space, right? And so it's called the precession of the equinox. What happened is they used to be aligned when astrology was created. The spring equinox was 0 degrees of Aries, was that beginning of the constellation.
Okay.
Because we got the constellations and their meanings and the zodiac, it's used to all be the same thing, and the equinoxes and the solstices. But then it moves slightly, a little tiny bit every year. And so over the course of a couple thousand years, it's different. It's varied now.
Yeah.
So if you get an astrology reading by a Vedic astrologer or someone who studies Indian astrology, they will most likely tell you you've got some different signs than what you're used to hearing in Western astrology.
Whoa.
It's not wrong. They're both beautiful systems. They're both incredible wealths of knowledge. It's just different ways of looking at the same quality of time.
Right.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp, as in,
you better get help.
Wow.
Let me tell you guys, therapy has honestly saved my life.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think it's saved your life, not to speak for you.
Because you were really down in the dumps.
Yeah, when you were really bad, your therapist helped you, no?
It's true. I love my therapist.
Wow. I'm glad that you love your therapist.
Yeah.
The first time I saw a therapist, I just cried for 2 hours straight, and she could barely even talk to me.
Whoa.
And you could have
the same
anything.
Experience.
Wow.
But I've been carrying around the weight of not having had therapy for many, many years.
Wow. And the great thing about, BetterHelp is that you can do it anywhere. And also some people, it's like, it's hard for them to actually go be in a room with someone if they need to talk about, you know, what they're going through.
Right.
That's the greatest thing about like BetterHelp. You can do it anywhere and you can do it in the privacy of your own home where you feel safe.
Yeah.
You know, talk about your feelings.
I think one of the cool things about the pandemic actually was that more people started seeing
therapists. Totally.
And realizing 100%. Like you can get really good help.
Yeah.
Even like virtually.
Yeah, totally. And it makes it more affordable for people.
Yeah.
So get it off your chest with BetterHelp.com. Visit BetterHelp.com/chaotic today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.
HELP.com/chaotic.
Thank you.
This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace.
Squarespace is where you can easily launch a website and get discovered fast with integrated optimized SEO tools.
Search engine optimization, if you guys don't know what that stands for.
Really? Thank you so much, my smart king.
That's how you get, how you show up at the top on Google. On Google, yeah.
Whoa.
So it optimizes SEO.
That's so cool that they can do that. Yeah. Squarespace is amazing. You know what also is cool? Squarespace can help you sell content on your website. Yeah. The thing that's great about Squarespace, they do it all for you. They can have you create a video collection of all your things that you like on your website.
Yeah.
They can create client invoices if you have
a shop.
Yeah, a shop on your website. They can do it
all.
So head to squarespace.com for a free trial when you're ready to go launch your website. That is www.squarespace.com/chaotic to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Squarespace.com.
It's almost like if people say like astrology is Joe's face.
No, you're gonna need a nap after this.
No, Joe's a sponge.
It's kind of like when we went to the Magic Castle.
I'm like closing my eyes. I'm like, don't pay attention to anything else. We're literally all
we're gonna understand. I'm gonna understand what you're saying.
ADHD. It's ADHD off.
I'm like, shut up, brain.
No, but here's what I'm thinking.
I'm on good ADD behavior today.
Like, you know how math is like made up?
Yeah.
It's like,
thank you for saying that.
In the same way, like, it's just it's all like a way of understanding.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I mean, math, you can do the same equations and get the same results. Mm-hmm. And so astrology tries to see if that's true. So one of the longest standing scientific experiments known in written history is people looking at and recording when the planets rose and fell and like set, rose and set in the night, and what the qualities were when comets came and went, what the moon looked like.
Right.
It's like a 700-year, I think, document of tablets from the ancient world.
Yeah, holy shit.
It's the longest standing scientific document. And it was all being like, oh, well, this is what happened in the sky and this is what happened on Earth.
Yeah.
So it's before anything that we think of as astrology.
Have you ever been to Newgrange?
No.
Sorry. No.
Katie's laughing.
Go ahead, Katie. But that's all solstice points.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Right? So humans around the world erected impossible works of art and worship.
Yeah.
Because that's where the sun would be at these pivotal moments.
Right.
Because our life depended on what the sun was doing, because we needed to grow food and eat it. And also we needed the sky. If you're, you know, thinking about populations that could see the sky, it tells you where you are in time and space. It tells you what season you're in.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, only certain constellations will be on the horizon when sun sets in a certain season.
Yeah.
So the constellations were our map for survival.
Right.
For so long.
Yeah. Like
forever until very recently.
Can you see the sky where you live? Like, can you? Well, you know what I mean. Come on.
I'm in LA.
Yeah.
I can see the brightest things.
Yeah, totally.
Does that affect you?
It affects all of us.
Yeah.
It's amazing to be in places where, I mean, this is not an interesting point. Sorry.
But it's nice to be able to see the sky.
When you travel to places where there is, I was recently in a place where there was truly like zero light pollution for miles and miles and miles. It was
crazy.
Really, really intense and strange. Like,
yeah.
It did feel
when
spiritual.
When you see the layers of stars.
I just could not. It was like beyond a Joshua tree. It was like.
Right.
It was deeper than that. I mean, it was really crazy. Like, yeah.
For anybody not living in LA that just heard that reference, sorry, Joshua Tree is where we go
to see the sky.
Yeah.
And even there, it's like you still have light pollution.
Totally, because there's a million houses and everyone's trying to see the sky.
Yeah.
But also party.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Shout out.
100%. Humans are horrible.
Yeah. Well, that's for sure. God.
But yeah, and that, I mean, I think not knowing true darkness is something that is very like obvious in terms of its manifestation because we don't know mystery.
Yeah.
We've lost our connection to the healing power of the dark.
Yeah.
There's this podcast with this guy there's this guy that I was listening to on some podcast who like started walking at night. Like he would just wake up in the middle of the night and just go, and he like lived in like darkness and he would just go out for these long walks. Mm. And it was like this whole, he wrote some book. I'm sorry, I can't remember it. But it was this whole process of like.
Some guy.
Knowing and trusting his ability to move through the dark. Now, obviously, a guy can do that.
Yeah, I was about to say. That was literally.
But in a perfect world, like the symbolic healing of being able to, you know, traverse through darkness and be okay.
We would just go in a group.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
You'd have large groups
with weapons. Exactly.
Big sticks. Yeah. I was going to say. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Me and 10 stone butches.
Men and their ability to go on spiritual pursuits.
I know. I was talking to someone yesterday who I had a brother who's so like hiking the Appalachians alone. And I was just like, I would never do that.
No, never. Right.
For about 18,000 different reasons. Yeah. Like, yeah. I can just name them. I can name six. Like,
it's like I'm so
scared.
Jealous.
Yeah.
I'm so jealous. I have a question.
Yeah, yeah.
This could be a stupid question. Mm. Where does the actual, like, information about each sign come from? Because it's like, if this is all,
that's a great question.
But just where, who said that?
Who said that?
Yeah. So it's over the course of long periods of time. The ways in which we think about signs now is very different. If you go back and read like old texts that are even like, 700 years old, which isn't that old, they'll talk about signs in a really different way. They're like, likely to catch syphilis.
Amazing.
Hey.
Amazing. Likely to be eaten alive by a wild pack of dogs.
Yeah, like, you can infer that in different ways.
It's clumsy or like sexually promiscuous.
Yeah, totally.
Got it. Yeah.
A lot of times, like, there's ways in which the signs are informed by the constellations they're related to.
Yeah.
And the constellations are what we call fixed stars.
Okay.
And so fixed stars have a nature to them. They're also like a whole other kind of level of astrology. And then there's also the planet that rules that sign.
Okay.
And the quality and the nature of that planet.
Is the quality and the nature based on like its relationship to Earth?
Yeah. Okay. You could say that in the most simple way. It's like the way in which it visually appears, the way in which its orbit functions. So like Venus and Jupiter are the brightest planets.
Okay.
And that's why they're equated with good.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
And Mars goes red.
So it's very like instinctual. Like,
basic. Yeah, yeah. Like once you start breaking it down, you're like, oh yeah, that just makes sense.
Yeah,
like
totally.
Right.
Mars is red. And so that's like kind of alarming.
Yeah.
Red is when you're, you get flushed. So you could be like excited in fun ways, but also like frustrated, angry.
Yeah.
It's like, there's like, it's heated, right? Uh-huh. And so heatedness is good, but you can't maintain it. It like can burn you.
Yeah.
And so plants that are related to Mars are spiky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're desert plants. They're dry. They're hot.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so the nature of Mars gets then related to the signs that it rules.
Well,
right. And so, and Venus is, this bright, beautiful, when at certain points of its orbit, it's just like so incredible. If you see it in the morning as a morning star, it will be like, it's like a literal diamond in the sky.
Yeah.
And then when it's with Jupiter, because they're the two brightest planets, if they're in a situation where they're far enough away from the sun, the two of them together is just like, it's like gobsmacking to see that kind of light in the sky that's not a star. It's moving. And so, again, humans are tracking the ways in which against the landscape of fixed stars, which are the band of the constellation, these planets are moving through them.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're looking to see, like, the quality of what happens on Earth when this planet does this thing.
Wow.
And so over recording it for long periods of time, like lifetimes and lifetimes and lifetimes, they come up with a general sense of what each of those things represent.
It kind of reminds me of, like, the wisdom of, like, the community. Like, we think about that in terms of, like, music and art. I really do believe in, like, the wisdom of, like, a large group of people to kind of like feel out the quality of something, you know, over time. It's like, but it also makes me think about when I was learning, my friend who taught me tarot, she was like, all of these cards like have, you know, history and like you can look the meanings up online. But if you sit with the cards, that's like the best way for you to learn the deck because you're going to get your own messages about it. So I guess I'm wondering, like, does it ever happen where, like, you're getting a really strong intuition about, like, an astrological event or a planet that maybe feels not in contradiction, but, like, a new element of, like, astrological...
Like an alternative perspective?
Knowledge, yeah.
I think, like, what I... You know, I look at, because I, you know, I talk about like the year before we live it, right? So I've got to be like, okay, what are these things and how might they manifest?
Yeah.
How have they manifested in the past? What might that mean for this present moment? And like, you can't quite, you can kind of see it like an outline, but you don't know how it's actually going to crystallize until you live it out.
Yeah.
And so I think like all astrologers, I'm always like, well, this is the landscape. And then you live it out and you're like, oh my God, that is the... That is a wild synchronicity or like crystallization of that formation. And each time you witness that, you like learn a little bit more. But I don't know. I don't know if I see things. I'm really, I'm a deep traditionalist. Like I really like when your friend's saying that, I'm like, yes, but I really want you to know the history of the cards.
You totally. Know,
like, I want you to go off, but I want you to know what it's from.
There's that quote. Yeah. It's the quote, oh, fuck me.
Cool. I don't fucking remember.
A man did say it. It's like...
sorry for that, man.
Fuck, I'm going to butcher this. Yeah, but it's like, you can only like... You can only break the rules like
once you have learned them in the Picasso.
Is it? Oh yeah, it is Picasso.
By the way, a man and a molester.
Yeah,
thank you.
You piece of shit.
I'm sorry. Fuck me.
It's a good quote.
He spat.
Yeah, that was totally spat.
He spat. Yeah.
That is just the truth. I like that too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, it's also like you can only write once you've learned to read, like as a child, you know what I mean, like once you and internalize the knowledge you can
you
but can I will say that tarot is like very new
because it wasn't it invented as like a kind of like a party game.
Well, it's all a game, you know, like I think it's
totally
it's a deck of cards. It's a fucking game, but it's potent and powerful.
But
if you look scary
at,
game
if you look at the tarot and it's like origins, you're like, oh, these were the original like New Agers.
Totally.
They just took whatever they wanted from Egyptian culture, from Jewish culture.
Yeah, because it's kind of Kabbalistic.
They vibed
right?
it out.
It is so odd the way they work with Kabbalistic like theories and words and the Tree of Life. And you're like, why are you changing the meaning? You know, it's very strange.
I kind of tripped out on like, I know a bit about Kabbalah. And but I had no idea about like the medieval kind of non-Jewish Christian Kabbalah.
Ugh, man,
that shit had me. That was like that shit is look what it is, up. People. Like, I mean, it's just it's a completely.
They just like the Jewish ideas, but they hate the Jews.
Kind of.
Yeah,
it's like
tale is all
it's
the
like
time.
Medieval. It's medieval time, Kabbalah. It's like it's like it's just like a way to take these kinds of like.
Yeah.
Just take what you like.
Structures and symbols and things and make it into this other
thing. But don't
thing.
Have the
all
Jews.
The people. Yeah. It's all the people like, oh, God. Is tarot, this is going to, I'm going to say another stupid thing.
Wait, is tarot who's anti-Semitic?
No, well no. But
well, no, the card, the Four of Pentacles is often called anti-Semitic.
Oh.
Interesting.
Sure. Yeah.
What is the image on that card?
It's the one of the guy.
Oh, yeah.
Hugging the pentacle.
Yeah.
And being
trying
greedy.
To get the Jew. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Being angry.
God damn.
Yeah. But fucking, it's like Aleister Crowley and all that shit yeah. where tarot comes from.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah. They're the yeah. I don't know, there's some like, they made it up some name for themselves.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
The thing is tarot works.
It's, no, it's,
by the way, it's like,
spiritualist.
If people,
yeah.
spiritualists. Yeah. This yeah. is like, if people want to talk about what is anti-Semitism? This is
that card.
This is anti-Semitic. Yeah. Like, look at this guy.
Well, they're saying that they hate that they have all the coins.
He's also like
Star
mad.
David.
I mean, yeah, yeah, it's ridiculous.
Gone.
But they, yeah, as yeah. a system, as yeah, a technology, those cards work.
They're interesting. I've had very.
You
I
have to have a critical
one,
lens with it.
Yeah,
I've only had one really good.
We yeah, only had one, and it was many, many years.
But
ago.
We were all drunk.
But it was
emotional.
Really.
You were drunk.
We were yeah. drunk, and it was emotional.
We were in Bushwick. Let's just
we
say
were
we were in Bushwick.
We were in Bushwick, yeah. but.
The, you know, the and it was 2016 or whatever.
Yeah. The astrological info of that event.
Do I actually
we
remember?
To have a
do
meaningful
I remember any of it?
I remember. No. I remember certain things from the. I was touched by it, even if it was like, you know, you just take what you want from it. But it's like
yeah.
this person who
them.
Person who did yeah. it did not know me very well. But certain interpretations that she had of the cards that she pulled for me were poignant. Like yeah. it just they just kind of were.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, yeah, it was really it was interesting. Like, yeah, I found it very interesting.
I use it like on tour.
You have you mm-hmm. like it?
Yeah,
though, you
know? I totally get
I
it.
Don't think there's no shade
all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I pull cards as like I used to do.
Well, don't
it every
you have
day.
A? Do you have a deck?
Oh, our own
you
deck.
Have a,
we've got like
you
a little affirmation deck.
Affirmation not, deck.
We're cool. gonna come out. We have tarot in the app, in the Chani app. There's
really?
A tarot card for each week. Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Cool.
If you go to the week, you go to today.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
you
yeah.
get your own horoscope
yes.
and the meditation of the day, and then if you go to this week, we've created cards, and then we give a description of why we chose that. So mm-hmm. the like later when once tarot was. Devised once it was created, it's related. There's this also this system called the Deccans,
okay.
which is like an ancient Egyptian system of taking.
I like the name.
Each 10 Deccans. Degrees. Deccans are faces.
Okay.
Mm. Each 10 degrees of every 30 degrees sign and assigning it different values. So.
You lost me.
Okay. So if you're.
Well, bad at math.
Each sign is
good,
30 degrees.
Okay.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
30 degrees.
Okay.
Per sign, because there's 12.
Yes.
So it's 360. It's a circle.
Yeah. Yes.
Totally.
Wow.
There we go. Got it.
I'm loving it. I'm learning.
So within each 30 degree sign, uh-huh. so Aries is 30 degrees.
Yeah.
The first 10 degrees of Aries means something. The next 10 degrees means a slightly different thing. And the last 10 degrees means a slightly different thing
oh, is
within
this
system.
Oh, is this the thing system. With like the mutable?
No.
Okay.
No,
never mind. I
the
didn't
signs
think it was.
Are then divided in mutable, fixed, or cardinal.
Okay,
which is its own thing.
That's like its own in thirds.
Well,
too many terms.
I know. I'm sorry.
The cardinal.
Like right now, we're about.
I'm like, we're gonna need you to come back about five more times.
The sun yeah, is about to enter Aries.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's about to be a new season.
Mm-hmm.
It's about to be spring because
yes.
the equinox.
Okay.
Yes. That aligns with the sign going to the tropical sign of Aries.
Okay.
Not the sidereal, the tropical.
Yes.
Because it is a new season right
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
And that is a cardinal sign because cardinal signs initiate
new.
Things.
Yeah.
They
okay.
change things.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool.
Okay.
And then the next sign that comes after that steadies it. It sinks us into that season. That's
okay.
a fixed sign.
Okay.
The season after fixed signs are mutable signs because they let go of one season and they start to get ready for the next season, but they're not fully there.
They're
so they're
movable.
Like wishy-washy.
Yeah.
Okay. Like air or water typically or not
every
really?
Element has is within each
cycles.
Of those.
Oh, okay.
Each of those modalities.
Yeah.
But right. it's like where you are.
Yeah,
okay.
so it's like, it's another thing you can learn about.
No,
it's another thing you could learn about, like, your signs.
I see Joe's mic level.
We should have gotten, we needed a handbook. I need a glossary.
Also, we don't have to talk about any of this.
No, it's fine. I like to know.
It's just too
but
much.
But there's a tarot card related to each decan of each sign.
Yeah,
got
I
it.
Did this. Yes, the decan.
Katie did this. She opened it.
But that is
it's
a little
too
bit.
Too many ways to slice
more.
The pie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or to get really specific.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I want to do a big left turn
away from this for a second.
And all the knowledge will stay with me.
But go ahead.
On Gaotic, it's traditional for us to ask our guests if they have a...
traditional is hilarious. But.
It is traditional. We don't always get to it because we're not good podcasters.
But no, that's a lie.
We are good at this. Yeah. we ask about an early memory of
a root,
possibly recognizing that you were queer.
Yeah.
It can be something that for me that was very connected to the gay shame of it all, and I was Barry.
But for some people, it can be connected to pop culture. Sexy. Oh my god, who's that person? And then you're wow. Your perspective shifts.
Or it could be something that you didn't realize at the time was very gay, and then looking back on it, you're I was a little root.
Yeah,
gay guy.
Well, I was lucky enough to grow up with some like biker dykes.
Cool.
Shaka.
So
my
best friend's mom was. And
sick.
So I just super dykey relationships and women were just part of my everyday life.
Yeah. Totally.
So her and I used to make out, and then
You and your friend's mom?
No.
I knew what she was talking about.
Thank you.
You and your friend?
Me and my friend. But who didn't make out with their friend?
Yeah.
So that's not necessarily, whatever. That's just a thing you do.
Yeah, yeah. I wish I had done it more.
But then my stepsister, who was older, caught us one day or something. And she was like, that's lesbian. And then my aunt also heard about it, and there was a level of gay shame, but it was also, I was also kind of whatever, because my best friend's mom was gay,
and you knew it was possible.
Yeah, she had all these girlfriends, and I knew all of them, and they all hung out and literally had motorcycles and drank beer, and so they were just they were my community.
Where are you from?
A tiny little town called Nelson, British Columbia.
Whoa.
Oh, cool.
In Canada.
BC is gorgeous. I mean, it's out of control.
Have you guys played a lot?
We've played only Vancouver, but it's so
beautiful.
Interior
is really, yeah. It's weird and beautiful. And then when I got older, my another stepmom that I had, her business partner was lesbian and all of her best friends were gay. So I had I had really great access to community very young.
Yeah, that's cool.
And so I don't know when this thought occurred, but I just always had this thought where I was I'm going to have a girlfriend when I'm 60.
Yeah,
just when I get there, I'll be free of patriarchy, and then I'll be able to do this thing. And I remember then I got to 19, and I was I don't think I have to wait till I'm 60. But I had lots of crushes before that. One of my uncle's girlfriends was I just thought she wore these amazing bell bottoms and she had this feathered hair. I don't know.
Just a babe. Yeah.
You know, I was just in love with a lot of women.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who hasn't been?
You know.
Who ain't.
Yeah.
Did you ever have boyfriends?
Yeah. I had lots of boyfriends.
Yeah.
Yeah. I loved them too.
Totally.
I think it was biological.
Yeah. That completely makes sense. Also just when you're just
horny.
And attention is nice. And
horny. You're so horny. They're so horny.
Yeah.
And it's what's expected. But also I think again, like now I'm like past those years and like there's not a fiber in me that could be in a heterosexual relationship.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like sex is one thing, but like to be in a relationship, like there's just no part of me. So I really do feel like there was some sort of biological trickery happening.
I've talked to some friends who are like, who've had similar experiences of just like, there was nothing like mechanically wrong.
Yeah.
With like, you know, it's like that aspect was okay and fine. Yeah. And then it's just,
good
good for some.
Yeah. There were times that were good.
Yeah. Yeah. And that, but it's just not that simple. It's like, yeah, when you come down to talk about like partnering, if that's what you want, like,
oh my God, I was always
be in love.
Yes.
You can be have been in love with men, have enjoyed sex with men and be gay.
Very
freedom
you too.
For all of you watching.
You
this.
Too could
I
be
just
gay.
Freed you guys. Yeah,
but you see that a lot, truth. Especially yeah, totally. With older women, right?
Totally.
Once they've had their kids and they've been married, and they're
absolutely.
Like, this is it. I will murder him.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I need
yeah.
to get out of this.
Yeah,
yeah. yeah. That isn't the worst thing I've ever heard.
I know. I mean, it's just like
feel bad
we're
for
very,
so many women.
We're very Jesus. Lucky to live in the time that we.
Yeah, women that are hardcore straight. Like
I know, and they
no
hate
choice.
Their husbands, and their husbands hate them.
Or they have to date.
I
and
don't
they
even...
hate being straight.
I know,
and they hate
it.
Being straight, but they are condemned.
It's brutal.
It's so bad.
Yeah, it's really hard.
It's really because we haven't. Society hasn't like changed enough for men to have to grapple with their own, you know, all the stuff.
I know
their own gender, even like yeah.
Just the, yeah, so it's rough out there.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank God, I just feel so grateful.
Yeah.
So did you have
I'm
your
so
first
happy
girlfriend
I'm then at what 19?
Yes, my first girlfriend was at 19. I made out with people before. You know, you get drunk enough and someone make out with you.
But totally.
I had my first girlfriend. Yeah, at 19, I was traveling, and yeah, that was my first girlfriend. Then I got back. And then I went to like basically like a college like feminism 101 program where we all started with long hair and then we all left with a buzz cut.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Totally. Girlfriends.
Sick. Yes.
That's what's up.
Yeah.
Where's
you know
that?
Where you have to go.
Canada.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. A lot of nice things are up there.
Yeah.
It seems like there's lots of good like lesbian campgrounds in Canada.
Mm.
Like I just feel like, I don't know why I said the word campground.
Yeah, I was like, what
did you mean by that?
I meant like.
You mean enclaves? What did I mean by that?
Like little
pockets.
Petri dishes developing lesbians.
I thought you meant actual lesbian campgrounds.
I was like, wow, I missed that.
That would be nice, too.
Yeah, well, they're just
to be
slightly...
safe. I would be down for that.
Obviously, Canada, you know, suffers from the same amount, similar amounts
they're
of, like...
more granola.
You know, structural oppressions.
Oh, yeah.
But the dogmatic, like, Christianity, I feel like, that we have in the States is so much more pervasive. Like,
yeah. It's different.
It's
there's a violence here.
Yes.
That is, there's different, it's different. It's,
yeah.
The United States is so much more concentrated in everything.
Yep.
You have to understand, there's as many people in Canada, which is the second largest country in the world, as there is in California.
Yeah.
So there's just
spread out.
Not a lot of, you know, like, the more people, the more problems, right?
Yes.
America is just, like, full of motherfuckers.
It's just,
there's just
that's
so
really wild.
It's motherfucker
many
nation.
People
It's too and big.
It's too big. There's too many differing needs.
Totally. Yeah.
There's too much going on.
There is too much going on.
At the one time.
Too much history over a large expanse of space with too many people. I mean, yeah.
Yeah. And
it's
just
not,
like.
It doesn't work.
No one's reckoned with anything.
Not
everything is just like, we're just trying to build on heaps of toxic trash.
Yeah, absolutely.
Instead of like composting it and sorting through things and like actually.
They're just trying to forget about.
Everything.
Genocides.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. And fund other ones.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
Well, straight up.
Jesus Christ. I was just going to say, every time you say composting in an astrology of the week ahead, I jizz. I love it. I love it.
These are two composters, so.
I mean, I just think it's the
everyone in Los Angeles
should
be composting.
It's the best metaphor.
Everyone everywhere should be composting.
We have the green bins.
Literally and metaphorically.
Yeah, you can throw compost in them now.
But if you don't want rats at your house.
Yeah.
Then there's also this place called Compost LA.
Yes.
For a very small fee, you can put it in your freezer and then they'll pick it up once a week.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
They'll come to you.
There's also a dump.
They'll come to you.
I thought you had to go to the farmer's market.
No, you don't have to pay like a small fee.
This is huge. I'm going to actually start doing this.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, I'm gonna make my girlfriend start.
Kate doesn't have green bins. She should.
She does. She didn't for a while, but she has green bins.
She can throw the compost there, and also every like neighborhood in LA has places you can drop it off to.
Yeah, but also you can keep it in your fridge.
Yeah, I have a compost in my backyard.
We're backyardigans.
Yeah.
What the fuck? I keep fucking this.
Okay. Do we want to look at charts?
You want to tell us about us?
I'm honestly horrified.
Have you ever looked at anything?
Yeah, but I mean, like, you know, I'm excited. I think it's just like, you know.
I like to start that way.
Maybe not horrified. I'm curious. And
also, you know who's gonna nervous? This is the fans have probably already tried to do this for us, so we're giving it.
And I mean,
we're
giving it to
you. How much do you want to give everybody?
If there's stuff that
just
needs
give
to be,
us everything, give us everything, and we'll edit it out.
Chaotic is a production of HeadGum.
Created and hosted by us, the members of the band Muna.
Our executive producer is Anya Konovskaya.
Our producer is Ali Khan.
And our editor is Rochelle Chen.
If you want to look at us do this podcast, you can now watch every episode of this show on our YouTube.
And if you want to prove that you love us, follow us on social media at Where Is Muna on most, if not everything, and rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
You can give us topics to rank during our new segment, That's Rank. And keep leaving reviews. We might even review your review on the next show.
Meet you right back here next week with a new episode. Bye!
That was a HeadGum Podcast.